see it.
Time for the Hamilton Corner with today's guest host, Stacey Washington.
Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Welcome to the Hamilton Corner, everybody. Back as promised, Stacey Washington filling in for Abraham Hamilton III, who will be back with you after the new year. And what a year it has been. We will be continuing to kind of unpack everything that we've seen this year and covering new topics. Today on the show, we have a full hour of you, the listener. So if you want to call in and join and be a part of the program, please do. It's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. That's the call-in line for you to join the program and chat with me today, your guest fill-in for the Hamilton Corner. So we're going to talk about Psalm 56, 1 through 13. That's our encouragement for today. And then in the second segment, we have the Al Nippon Airways flight mishap. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's been in the news that the flight took off from the United States and it was on its way to Japan. And plus hours into the actual flight, they realized that they had one additional passenger, one person too many, and that person was holding a boarding pass for another airline. So basically, they smuggled themselves onto the flight. At that point, the pilot decided they had to go back to the United States because they would not be permitted to land with one additional person who wasn't permitted or properly purchased into or booked into, et cetera, to get into Japan. So they turned around and all of the passengers were upset about it. And I think one of the reasons why it's made such a prominent splash in the news is because John Legend and Chrissy Teigen, they were on the flight. And so she was actually tweeting about it during the flight. Very upset she was that she was inconvenienced in that way. So we're going to talk about that and whether or not it was a crime and kind of reorient ourselves. We don't yet know, at least I haven't seen so far, whether or not the person did this accidentally or if they were really trying to get to Japan and what the impetus for all of this was. So then we also have a House Intel panel Democrat basically saying that the public is already aware of most of the evidence against Trump, which means we're aware of nothing, which means there is no evidence, which means why are they still investigating? Why are they still wasting taxpayer dollars? So we'll be talking about that as well. And then Project Veritas, you know, we love James O'Keefe. We love the work that he does, the investigative journalism, the kind of old school investigative journalism that used to be a hallmark of the Fourth Estate that's kind of going by the wayside. He's still practicing that. He's still doing a fantastic job. And this time he took on the Michigan Teachers Union and he's won in court. So we're going to talk about that in the third segment. Right now, I want to give you those call lines again one more time. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And then I want to talk to you about this Bible verse. So we're talking about Psalm 56, verses 1 through 13. Psalm 56, verses 1 through 13. And pardon me, I'm going to be a little scratchy of voice. I've got the whole cold thing still going on from yesterday. And as my producer can attest to, I've been coughing and hacking and clearing my throat, but not so bad. It's not been horribly bad, but definitely better than yesterday, but still dealing with this thing. So pray for me. So the Bible verse is Psalm 56, verses 1 through 13. So the setting here is that David is writing this. The Philistines had seized him in Gath. And he was plaintively crying out to God. So he starts off by simply stating his case. Be merciful to me, O my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God, I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long, they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire. They lurk. They watch my steps, hoping to take my life because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. So he's ticked off. He's feeling as if he's been victimized, and he's going straight to the source. He's asking God for his help. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this, I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. So he ends on a high note. He ends by reaffirming what he knows, that God is for him and that he's speaking to his source and that God knows him. And he reaffirms that he has given himself to God and that he's sworn himself to the cause of Christ. And he says, I will present my thank offerings to you. So we've got to really be assured that God cares for us and that he has all of our cares in mind. So it's not just the bigger things. It's the small things. It's all of the things. It's the gossip. It's the work situations that you feel like you can't deal with anymore. It's the time with your family, the time that you don't get to spend with your family. It's the family members who you're estranged from. It's the loved ones that you've lost relationship with. It's the friendships that are on the rocks. Or it's the goodness that's in your life right now that maybe is almost so good that it's distracting you away from focusing on God, because that can be a problem for us as well. And so in this time, we can think back to the early disciples and the apostles, if you will. And they were constantly amazed by the power and authority and workings of Jesus Christ. He would still the storm and the sea. The waves and the wind obeyed him. He walked on the water. He enabled Peter to walk on the water with him. But have we learned anything from them? Are we still afraid when difficult things happen to us, when a variety of tribulations enter our lives? Do we get all trembly when we need to take a stand on righteousness? When we have that opportunity to speak the truth, do we waver and falter and forget that we have the power of the truth on our side? When people ridicule Christianity, do we stand by silently, seething, but not saying a word, not standing and defending? Do we basically go to rubber and start drinking and having a tough time when we lose our job or our finances are in a tough spot? Or when we look out into the world and we see the national scene, the world trends, the different things that are going on with North Korea, the threats from around the globe, the constant uptick in terror attacks here on the homeland. Do we look at all of that and lose heart? I know it's frustrating. I know it's a lot to take in, but do we allow ourselves to be in the same position as those in the world who don't know Christ and don't have him as their savior? If we are having that as our experience, God has an answer for that. We're supposed to have inner peace at all times. That is one of the fruits of the Spirit. But how? Well, first, we have to trust in God's awareness. God is not on the throne turning around from, you know, his cell phone and going, oh my goodness, what just happened? What did Kim Jong-un do? It's not like he's surprised by any of this stuff. He's not up there going, oh myself, wow, this is pretty tough. I wonder what we should do. He's God. He's already aware. He knows what's going to happen. He's in all of these situations at all times, in all time spaces. So he's here now, he's in the past, and he's in the future. He's at the end of your life waiting to meet you. He's here now, present in this moment with you. So you have to trust in God's awareness because he knows what our situations are. We have to remember that God is aware and that he is keeping a protective eye on us, and he's waiting on us to call on him when we have a need. The second thing we can do is pray anyway. Prayer keeps our thinking straight. When we have all of these things coming at us at the same time, that's when we can do our instant prayer. Right then, right there. Eyes don't even have to be closed. Because if you're in the car and you get some bad news, you're not going to close your eyes while you're hurtling down the road at 65 miles an hour. No, you're going to pray with your eyes wide open while you're keeping the traffic aware. You're going to right there go to the Father and say, oh, Lord, I just got some bad news. Help me to deal with this. what's my next step? It keeps us thinking straight. And it's what God asked us to do when Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So we should recognize this as a source of joy and peace, because Philippians 4 verses 4 through 7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So praying will ease the pounding of your heart. It will help you to feel his awareness of your situation. And it gives you a chance to talk to someone who's capable of acting in your situation and doing something about what you're experiencing. As comforting as it is to unload on a friend or a parent or a sibling, and there's nothing wrong with sharing and confessing what you have going on to them and asking them to join with you in prayer, the first one you need to address your needs to is our Father, because he's going to be that one who's going to make that most meaningful, substantial change, and he's going to work all the things together for your good. So why not go to him? Why not make him the first one you go to, is what I'm saying. You know that the God who is aware of your situation is also aware of your limitations. He's aware of how much you can handle, how strong you are. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with this temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. God knows better than you do. He knows how much you can handle. I was actually, so I'm doing this YouTube workout on the treadmill, and the guy is, you know, you do the interval. So you run, then you walk. And he's like, when you think you're about to give up, when you think you're about to hit stop on this YouTube video, instead of hitting stop, keep going. And I was thinking, well, why would I be hitting stop other than I feel like I can keep going? I've been going for a while and this is killing me. He said, the human body can take much more than what our minds think it can take. If you keep going, you're going to see some results. I thought to myself, okay, I'll try that the next time. And sure enough, I ended up working out 20 minutes longer than I originally thought I could. The goal that I'd set for myself, I blew through, because I can handle more than what my mental limitations are telling me. So we have to take confidence in the fact that God loves us. We have to ease the pounding of our heart by trusting in God's love and visualizing the extent of God's love. And one way to do that is to think about how much you love your children. What would you do for your children if you could? You would help them. Sometimes you'd be tough so they could grow and learn and develop the right character. You might say no to things that aren't good for them. You might withhold junk food so that they would learn to eat healthy. Would you be prone to giving your child a stone to eat if you knew they were hungry? No. You hear your three-month-old cry for a bottle and instead you stick a jalapeno in their mouth? No. I don't know anybody that's that evil. Instead, you're going to give them what they need and what you feel is best for them at the time. So if that means no candy that night, it's not because you don't love them. It's because you love them and they've maybe already had enough candy for the day or for the week. You're doing that because you love them. And so the Bible tells us that this is the way our Father in heaven is with us. If you then, being relatively evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So whatever is causing you anxiety right now, you can confess 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's an absolute. There's no, you know, he cares for you when you're good, or he cares for you when you're nice, or he cares for you when you're sweet. Because that would mean he's not caring for me a lot of the time. Uh-oh. I'm so glad he cares for me in spite of my failings, problems, issues, in spite of me being a person, a regular old sinful child of God. So we got to trust in his presence and be confident that he is with us. And that's your encouragement for today. Thank you for tuning in right now. You have more Hamilton Corner up next. After these messages, I'll be back with all of the political talk you've been waiting for. So stay right here on American Family Radio with the Hamilton Corner.
We have seen God do amazing things this year. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Once again, we've reached the time in the year where we reflect on all the incredible ways God has worked through Liberty Counsel in the past year. One of our organizational passions is supporting the pro-life movement. We continued defense of Sandra Merritt against the pro-abortion California Attorney General. From Florida to Pennsylvania, Liberty Counsel defended the rights of peaceful pro-life advocates in front of abortion clinics. Also, Liberty Counsel successfully encouraged the U.S. House of Representatives to pass the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which bans abortions past 20 weeks. Our legal services are provided without cost. We are grateful for God's provision and for your prayerful support. Please consider partnering with Liberty Counsel, and together we can protect the lives of more precious babies and mothers next year. Learn more about Liberty Counsel and our various ministries at lc.org. That's lc.org.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association. An example of the increasing attack on Christian values in our nation is openly homosexual billionaire Tim Gill, who has spent $500 million promoting the LGBT movement and has vowed to, quote, punish the wicked, end quote, who oppose that movement. And by the wicked, Mr. Gill means Christians like you and me.
For more than 40 years, the American Family Association, by God's grace and with your help, has stood against the rising tide of moral decay in our society. As you consider a year-end gift to AFA, we'd like to send you a copy of the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks. This video reminds us of the truth of the Bible. It's our prayer that God will work through the God who speaks to restore the faith of Christians and churches that have grown to doubt the trustworthiness of Scripture. And it's our way of saying thank you for your generous year-end donation.
You can give at afa.net. Thank you very much.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we share with American Family Radio. We share a common goal: to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoon at 4:30 Central on AFR Talk for help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
Hi, this is David Barton of All Builders Live, inviting you to join me here on American Family Radio this weekend. We take the ideas of the Founding Fathers and apply those ideas to the major issues of the day. Our guests include those who are in the headlines, as well as experts on issues facing this great nation. Along the way, you'll discover the role that faith has played in our nation's history, as well as in dealing with the issues we face right now. Join us Saturday afternoon at 2 Central here on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
The airport security scare raising new questions about safety in the skies after a Tokyo-bound plane was forced to turn around mid-flight when an unauthorized passenger was discovered on board. Fellow passengers, including John Legend and Chrissy Teigen, were delayed a total of 15 hours. And ABC's Matt Gutman is at LAX to tell us exactly how this happened. Good morning to you, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Paula. Law enforcement sources tell us this was likely not a mistake. They say that one of two brothers with very similar names likely used a duplicate boarding pass to get on the plane. And then flight attendants didn't realize they had a possible stowaway on board until the flight was halfway to Tokyo, which is one reason they're calling this the flight to nowhere.
This morning, the FBI is weighing criminal charges against a pair of brothers who somehow got on flight 175, Los Angeles to Tokyo, using a single boarding pass. The so-called flight to nowhere took off from Los Angeles at noon on Wednesday, and just 4 hours later, boomeranged back when flight attendants discovered the possible stowaway. Turned out to be a 4,000-mile detour. Overnight, ABC News learned the brothers have nearly identical names and allegedly used a duplicate boarding pass. One of them did have a legitimate ticket for Flight 175. The other brother also had a real ticket to Tokyo, but on a different flight with a different airline.
You've got to know precisely how it happened here. Once we get those answers, then you can kind of reverse engineer the process and make sure that you don't let that occur again.
And overnight, 16 hours delayed, that plane finally unloaded 208 very frustrated passengers in Tokyo.
Mostly tired and pretty angry.
Pretty upset.
Definitely disappointed.
Oh, wow. So welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III is out today. I'm Stacey Washington filling in for him. It's a pleasure to be with you here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Please go to AFR.net and read all of the cool stuff we have over there and join in the fight for keeping our religious liberties and all of the things that we do here at AFA, American Family Association. So you're just listening to some audio from ABC News about the Al Nippon Airways flight where you have these two brothers and they have similar names and they have one ticket to Tokyo. They decide to duplicate the boarding pass and fly out on the same aircraft. Now, I heard him saying in the audio clip that they actually had two tickets, but one of them was on a different plane or different airline, different plane. So that's an interesting twist to the story, but either way you look at it, this was done intentionally. The question is, what's going on with that? So you, I'm sure if you're listening to this show, you've flown before. You go up, and this is the same no matter what airline you're on. I always use Southwest. You get up there, and you're in A1 through 39. That's what you hope. And it's your turn to board. You either get your phone out with your boarding pass, or you get your paper boarding pass out, whatever you're using. You go up, and there's a scanner there. And there's an airport employee, usually the flight attendant, one of the gate agents who's going to stay on the ground but is processing the people through for the flight. They give you a once-over, and then they tell you to put your boarding pass, at least with Southwest, they don't even handle your boarding pass. You put it up under the thing, and if it's on your phone, you hear the click, the beep, and then you acknowledge that you're now on the plane. That is supposed to, in my mind, it's supposed to say passenger, so there's, 200 seats on the plane, let's say. So passenger number 40 has just entered the plane. With Southwest, since they don't assign seats, it's literally just a number of people who are boarding the plane. And if it's full, meaning they have less than 5 or 6 seats left, then they know they're only going to have, they know exactly how many seats are going to be left empty. And so we were actually, this brings to mind the last time we flew out of the country with the kids. We went to Switzerland a couple of years ago. And on one leg of our flight, I want to say it was out of New York. We were flying out of LaGuardia, and we're flying from there directly into Frankfurt in Germany. No, we're not flying into Germany. We're flying into Switzerland. We're flying into Geneva, and we are boarding the aircraft. Everybody gets on. So this is a jumbo. It's like a 757, something huge. You know, the ones where you got the center row of people and you have two aisles and it takes forever to board because you got to get all the people on. And so they're boarding you by your seat number because they're trying to fill the plane up, you know, so it's not Southwest, obviously. So we're on the plane and we're seated in our seats and we're in two groups because with five people, you rarely can book all together to sit on the same row or what have you. We sit down and we've been sitting there buckled in with our stuff stowed, feet in front of us and overhead for about 20 minutes, which is an abnormally long time for everyone to be on the plane and be seated. She comes back and one of the flight attendants starts asking every woman of color if our name is this kind of Arabic sounding name. She says, "Can I see your boarding pass?" So I show her mine. She has me, she has both of our daughters. She looked at our boarding pass, made sure our name wasn't the name she was looking for. Then they make an announcement. There's someone on the plane who we need to talk to, and they say the name. No one gets up. So this goes on for about 10, 15 minutes. People start getting annoyed because they're like, where is this person? Finally, she comes back. She asks me again. I'm like, look, I'm an American. My name is Stacey Washington. Not only do I not have a name that sounds like that, but you can listen to me and understand that's not my name. So she says, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but we have to find this person." I said, "Well, I can't help you. I don't know who that is." So she goes over and starts systematically asking every woman at this point. Now she's not just asking the women of color. She's asking every woman. Finally, a lady with one of those, you know, the pretty scarf, but it's wrapped all the way around so you can only see the face. You can only see the face like a snowsuit. Only it's a scarf. This woman stands up. She's got a sweatshirt, some leggings. I remember this because she was sitting near me. She stands up with her backpack and she says, "That's my name." And the flight attendant was like, "Well, why didn't you say something?" So she goes up to the front And after a little bit more hubbub, they come back and get the rest of her stuff, and she deplanes. Now, I'm not sure what was going on, but the flight attendants figured out that this woman wasn't supposed to be on there when they did the head count as they were going through the planes, clearing the planes section by section before takeoff. So the question for this story is, who on Al Nippon Airways didn't participate in the clearing of their section of that aircraft to make sure that there were not more people in that section of the plane than there should have been per the flight manifest? Oh, I got so many stories. We don't have enough time on this show, and you probably don't have enough interest to listen to all my flight stories about times that they figured out that somebody who was on the manifest wasn't on the plane, or someone who was on the plane wasn't on the manifest. One time, in fact, this was the time we were flying back from Switzerland. It was an interesting trip, I'll tell you. We were flying on a little teensy-weensy jet, one of those little single-aisle, I hate those planes. We were flying from, we'd gotten laid over, missed a flight, and so we're trying to get back here to St. Louis, and we're on this little plane, and because there were people from other flights that had been basically shunted over to this aircraft, the flight manifest had to be double-checked, and when they double-checked it, she actually made every one of us after, and you know, I'm 6 feet, 2 inches tall, and I'm on this little plane where I can't even stand fully up. I can't stand up. I'm hunched over trying to get to my seat. I finally get to my seat, stow my items, and sit down, and she says, everybody has to get off the plane. We all had to deplane and take everything we brought on the plane with us. They rechecked the flight manifest, ran all of our boarding passes back through, and then let us get on the plane again. Then she checked our heads. We had one flight attendant on the flight. She counted all of us coming down the aisle, and then she counted us all going back, went into the cockpit with the aircraft, with the pilot. So the flight manifest was signed off on by somebody who was an airport worker, and then we were allowed to leave. So my question is, who missed their job? Who missed their, you know, flight attendant 101 in this situation? And what does it say about airport security that they're making us take our shoes off and our belts, and they're making us take our watches off, and they're looking in our ears, and every time I go through, somebody's got to put their hand up in the back of my head like I got a bomb up in the back of my hair. My hair is not even long. Why would you need to put your hand up in the back of my sister locks and feel around like there's something? What could possibly go back there? There's not even any room. There's just my head and a little bit of hair hanging off. Every single time you turn around, they're doing something invasive like that. Latest story out is they took a 88-year-old grandma who had an oxygen tank and and she's in a wheelchair. She makes it through, her bag gets flagged, and so they decided to do one of those, you know, hand up the crotch hand checks, the pat-downs, on this 88-year-old grandma, this white lady. That's a total terror threat, right? So the passengers are all upset about this, but the question that's now being brought about is it a crime? Is something like this a criminal activity? Now, I don't know. I don't play an airline attendant or FAA, you know, aficionado on TV. I have no idea. I know what the back of the ticket says. I always read the back of my ticket. When they give me the little thing, I always read the back. There's a whole bunch of stuff on there. A whole bunch of your rights that you signed away when you accept that ticket. So I always read it because it's interesting. But in number two, they discuss how the flight mishap could actually result in criminal charges. Oh, it's clip two.
ABC News was there meeting honeymooners Devin McIntyre and Justine Williams.
You can't make up a day. There's no compensation that gives us back that day.
Chrissy and John.
There was also one very prominent tweeter, supermodel Chrissy Teigen.
Thank you so much for taking me on this awesome vacation, babe.
Her tweet storm on Wednesday made the hashtag LAX to LAX go viral. Now, she's asking, I just need to know why we couldn't have flown to Tokyo and settled this one person's mistake. In a statement, the All Nippon airline said the return to LAX was conducted per procedure, and the company apologized for passengers' inconvenience. Now, being a stowaway is a federal crime. It's punishable by up to 5 years in prison. And federal authorities right now are poring over surveillance video here at the airport to determine whether or not there was intent here. But the airline could also face hefty fines, not only for allowing that passenger on board, but then
failing to make an accurate head count. They have offered all those passengers a $265 or thereabouts voucher. But, you know, if you're the guy sitting in row 87 in the middle seat, I don't know if that quite cuts it. Dan?
Yeah, they may have to multiply that. Matt, thank you.
So, as I said, the issue here is that someone before takeoff did not complete the head counts and then reconcile the head count with the flight manifest, which said how many people would be on the plane. And so, you know, I'm sure over at the airline, you know, heads are going to roll and people are going to be disciplined, could possibly result in some people getting fired and things like that. And they probably won't discuss that publicly. Personnel matters are usually not gone over publicly. But the couple that they highlighted talked about how they missed flight reservations, and there was also a really, really nice restaurant reservation that they had because they were on their honeymoon, and they missed all of that. So, you know, that's kind of horrible. It's not kind of horrible. It is totally horrible. So I want to go to the phones now. Craig in Pennsylvania, thanks so much for calling the Hamilton Corner.
Yeah.
Welcome Hello. To the show. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I love AFR and I love the Hamilton Corner. But when a friend of mine and we just got back from Iraq and we were going to fly from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh, we're in uniform, just getting back from Iraq, and the TSA agents wanted us to take our boots off and all this other, you know, go through the searchness and all that, you know. And there's Arabics walking right through with their turbans on and stuff. They didn't say nothing to them. And then the people behind us started getting all angry and stuff because they're doing that to us. A lot of people in the airport bus are launching a couple of beers and stuff to, you know, to say, hey, we're not all like that over here. And it was just, to me, really, I don't know. I mean, it really just made me in awe. Like, really, you're searching soldiers and you're letting Arabic go through?
I don't understand how, well, I don't understand how all that works. One of the things that I think we would like as Americans is not to have our wonderful, you know, our wonderful service members, and thank you for your service, going through this kind of, it feels like it's like a persecution, really. And you're right. You look at other people and you're like, how, so maybe they had TSA pre-check, do you think? Like, there's got to be a reason why they weren't under the same scrutiny. Military members are hardly individuals that you would say are going to do terrorist acts in the airport.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to check soldiers, but you're not, that's American soldiers, and you're not going to check people that are Arabic. I mean, that's, I couldn't understand that.
Yeah, I can't either. So here's the issue that we run into. If you decide to complain about something at the airport, they're liable to say, oh, well, you're not going to fly then. You know, you got a problem, we're going to go ahead and cancel your reservation. And we've seen lots of things happen to people. If you get a little bit too testy about them touching you, you know, they make a scene, they can cancel your flight. They really have a lot of power over you, so people don't want to complain. But it would be nice to kind of understand what their parameters are for pulling people out. And I know they have some stuff on their website, but I mean the literal, like, objective truth about the matter. Is it just somebody's looking at you and they don't like you and so they pull you out? I don't know. But thank you so much for your service. I'm a veteran. My husband also is a veteran. We're in the Air Force, so we totally understand your situation. And I so appreciate you taking the time to call in the show, Craig, in Pennsylvania. One of my favorite states. We're going to be back with more of your calls and more Stacey on the Right filling in for Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio. Stay right there.
Hey, here's some great news, and we could all use some great news for 2018. If you're worried about your healthcare costs or you feel like you're missing out because open enrollment is over, well, it's not too late to join MediShare. You can sign up anytime, and think about this. The typical savings for a family with MediShare is about $500 a month. Think what a difference that would make to your budget. Again, that $500 a month is the typical savings. It could be more or less for you. Definitely worth taking a couple minutes to find out. There are over 300,000 MediShare members sharing each other's medical bills, and something they're now loving, MediShare has a telehealth program that lets you log in and meet with a doctor in real time within the comfort of your own home. For everything from a cold or flu or for a prescription, you can save a lot of time and money, and it's free. Again, open enrollment might be over, but you can still join MediShare. Here's the number to find out more, 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, 855-PSALM-23.
Welcome to Fast Facts with Reasons for Hope. I'm Carl Kirby, and we're talking about some of the best and busiest builders ever. Bees, they're the most economical builders ever known. All the way back in 36 BC, a man named Marcus Terentius Varro said that the honeycomb was one of the most practical structures ever made. Fast forward 2,000 years, and a man named Thomas Hales wrote a 19-page mathematical proof showing exactly that. His paper showed that of all possible structures, honeycombs use the least amount of wax. In addition, the walls that they build in the honeycomb make precise 120-degree angles. They make perfect hexagons. I wonder where they went to school to figure that out. Do they even have a slide rule that small? Fact is, bees are not the bumbling bullies that some people believe them to be that just go around stinging people for fun. Instead, they are the ultimate perfectionists, general contractors of the highest caliber. In short, bees have God's fingerprints all over them. For more information about Reasons for Hope, check us out at rforh.com. Stay bold.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Jerry Wayne Pino died the other day. He was 70, a Vietnam War veteran. His body lay unclaimed at a funeral home in Long Beach, Mississippi for days.
He just doesn't have any family.
Kathy Warden works at the Riemann Family Funeral Home. She was determined that somebody just had to be at Jerry's funeral. Kathy had her teenage son round up some classmates, and the boys gladly volunteered to be pallbearers for a man they did not know.
I went out there for the service and cried the whole way through, mainly because he had no one there. This veteran had nobody standing there but these boys and me who did not know him, and it just touched my heart.
They buried Jerry on a Tuesday, but he was not alone. Standing around his flag-draped coffin were six teenage boys who came to say farewell. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
The House Intel Committee on which you sit, how close are you with that investigation to being done?
Well, it's a little hard to say. It's hard to say because there are, of course, probably dozens of witnesses that we still want to interview. It's hard to say because, and I say this as one of the members of that committee, we are occasionally surprised by things that Robert Mueller uncovers that, of course, raise questions that we should look into, things that the media uncovered. I mean, let's face it, it was the media, not the any of the investigations that uncovered the meeting in Trump Tower with Donald Trump Jr. And so we've got a ways to go. This is an investigation that needs to be done right, not done quickly.
Have you seen any evidence yet of a crime on the part of Donald Trump's campaign?
Well, you know, I'm not sure I've seen a lot that the American people aren't already aware of.
So we're listening to this House Intel Democrat, and you know, it's a bit of an issue if you think about the problem that we're facing. Actually, that wasn't. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what audio we just played. That was it was from CNN. So we're this House Intel Democrat saying that the public's already aware of most of the evidence against Donald Trump. And it's absolutely an indicator of the fact that we have this witch hunt going on. And the president is the object of the witch hunt. And they're just going to keep digging until they can find something. Because in their minds, if they can't impeach the president then they've got no reason for living. And I think that's crazy pants, but that's where we are right now in this country. So I'm going to go back to the phones. We have a couple of people calling in. We have Joe in Ohio. Hey, Joe, thanks for calling the Hamilton Corner.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, and Happy New Year to you and your family and all your listeners there. I hope two things. I really called in about the airline incident, and then I heard the clip you just played, and I hope that the Republican Congress can grow a backbone in 2018 and start pursuing the real Russia collusion, which happened with Hillary and Bill Clinton and some of these other Democratic crooks, stand up for something. I mean, they've got no backbone, they don't stand for anything. I hope in 2018 that the Republican Congress can do something to get Mueller out of the investigation, or investigate Mueller and all the other corruption that was going on. My airline story was in 2007 or 2008. And me and my son were boarding a plane in Las Vegas, and the TSA or the airline security had pulled aside. It was a member of the USA Olympic wrestling team or weightlifting team. He had his sweatshirt on, his trophy, his medal, and his wrestling or weightlifting shoes. And they pulled him aside and gave him a pat down while other more likely terrorist suspects were able to board the plane without a pat down. It was thinking to myself, you know, here's these Olympic athletes give up, you know, 8, 10, 12 years of their life just to go and represent the country, you know, for one event, and these airline security people are patting them down, and it was just amazing. You had to see it to believe that they would actually pick that person out of the crowd to pat them down. But Happy New Year, and have a great year.
You too. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Yes, that's and obviously these are anecdotal tales. I mean, for every one person that sees someone getting patted down, you're like, why would you pat down an Olympian? There are other people that hopefully are being patted down with good cause, that it would mean the safety, is being promoted there. I want to go to our next caller. We have Ron in Texas. Ron, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner.
Thanks for having me on. I worked for TSA for 10 years. I held several positions in the job. I would just like to say that there are people that do stand out and do things on their own. But if you go by the procedures that they have written down, I think they're very fair and proper procedures. To say, I'm not going to pat this gentleman down because he's an Olympian is just plumb ridiculous. Fact in the matter is, what does a terrorist look like? How big is the components to make an IED? I actually, in one of the jobs that I held with TSA, I got to go spend some time with our local bomb, can't think of what it's called, the police. They have their little bomb squad or whatever it is, and I got to spend some time with theirs. How big is a detonator? A detonator is probably about 2 inches long, maybe a quarter of an inch thick, that can be hid up under your hair. Now, if they're not applying, and I have gone through other airports besides the ones, because I worked at about 4 airports, and each airport that I worked at, we did a good job. And the reason service people get checked, we had a serviceman come through with his backpack, had some C4 in that backpack. And so, you know, just to say, we're patting this guy down, and it does, and there are people that probably pick and choose based upon someone ticking them off or, you know, just being rude in the line. I'm not going to say that doesn't happen. But at the same time, everything's going to be fine and well if they're not doing these things. And then something happens, then you're going to, you know, come down on everybody for not doing, you know, just like you're coming down on this airline. You know, a mistake was made, and so they come down on them. But, you know, there's no second chances if someone's going to blow up a plane. And, I mean, you're looking at people who want to conceal things, and they're going to do it for whatever reasons. You can't pick out a person just because of his ethnicity, just because he's a Muslim, or just because this or that. You got to follow the procedures. And you know, hopefully at some point somebody will weed out the people that are just being – you know, picking on people because they didn't smile when they walked through the line. That's all I've got to say, because y'all are beating up on these TSA people, but there's just no telling how many lives that they've saved based upon this, because things that didn't happen. There's just no way to tell. I did it for 10 years. If my family came through my line, guess what? They got patted down just by procedure. And then after I finished clearing them and they were clear to come into the checkpoint, they got a big old hug. So that's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you so much for calling into the show. And thank you for your work with the TSA. So here's the thing. And I understand what he's saying about the safety. And there is a way to tell how many of the bombs have been found or thwarted. There is a way to measure the TSA's effectiveness, and governmental agencies actually go through and they do tests, and TSA routinely fails the tests where people come through and they're like mystery shoppers, only they're going through the TSA, and TSA normally doesn't have a really great record of that. So this isn't me bashing TSA or saying they're all horrible, but there are too many instances where, as he said, someone didn't smile or someone was rude coming through the line, and then that person is picked out. They used to pick women out that they thought were hot for and assess them for extra screening so that they had to get the pat down. And I know that this is a job that people do, so you're doing the best that you can with the parameters that have been given to you. But if you're a woman, which I am, and you've ever been patted down by a TSA agent, then you're going to not have the best attitude or the best outlook about the TSA. The pat down is vulgar and invasive. And they do the same pat down that they've done to me on numerous occasions. They also do that same pat down to children. So there's a balance, there's a balancing act, and other nations are able to screen their people using profiling. So he said, you can't say, I'm not going to screen this Olympian, I'm going to screen Muslims, but who's doing the majority of the terror attacks? Do we have Olympians committing terror attacks at airports at a record pace at all? Do we have any instance of an Olympian committing a terror attack? Do we have any instances of a military member in uniform trying to commit a terror attack? Now, if a military member is coming through TSA and they have C4 in their backpack, probably like what has happened to me before, where I have my concealed carry and I'm at the airport and I just forgot that I had it on me. I didn't make it through the TSA. I actually remembered before I got to the TSA and was able to avoid that, you know, kind of embarrassing moment. But unless we have credible, actionable intel or proof that that person who was bringing the C4 through, that military member, was bringing it through so that they could blow up a plane, then it sounds like that was, you know, simple operator error, forgot to take that out of their bag and leave it back at the barracks or on base. Fact is, the majority of Americans, especially the grandparents, especially the women, were being patted down for nothing. I'm having some strange woman with gloves on run her hands up and down my inner thigh until she meets the top repeatedly just because the TSA can. And so every time that happens, I'm having a negative reaction to these measures that are supposed to be there to keep us safe, because there's no way I'm committing an act of terror. There just is no way. So I'm being patted down just so that we can make sure that people who should be patted down, people who should be screened and given extra scrutiny, so they can feel good that everyone's receiving the same treatment. I can't agree with that. I don't think that everyone that works for the TSA is a bad person. I know they have good people working for them. But the bad apples are kind of prevalent. I mean, have you ever been hit on in the line by a TSA agent? I have. What kind of a place is it that you're standing in line and you're waiting to go through a highly invasive process where your bags are screened, you have to remove your shoes, and you have to submit yourself to a screening, which then would, you know, after that, they have to put their hand up the back of your hair. And while you're standing there, you have some person on the side assessing your outfit and telling you that you might make a great date. What is that? What is that? So until you've gone through those experiences, I think it's everyone has a different perspective. And so there are great TSA agents out there, very professional people who do their jobs well. The whole system is set up as a social justice warrior type thing where we've got certain people who should be screened and heavily scrutinized who are receiving the minimum amount of scrutiny, and others who should not be scrutinized at all based on profiling are being scrutinized and subjected to what I consider to be Gestapo type tactics. And then you have the bad apples who are operating with impunity because they know I can say whatever I want to any woman coming through this line. And she dare not say anything about it, because if you go to the supervisor and say, he just said so-and-so to me, you're going to get pulled out of line. You're going to get your stuff pulled out. You're going to have everything searched. You're going to be subject to all that, the wiping and the swabbing and a pat down. And they're probably going to take you off your flight. So that person gets to say whatever they want to you while they're in the line. It's sexual harassment. And no one should have to put up with it. So, I mean, and that's not my only story. I have so many times I've been through the TSA where I'm like, what is this? Am I in the Twilight Zone? And that's the process. In fact, funny part of this story. We were just watching Die Hard. You know, it's supposed to be the ultimate Christmas movie. The kids have never seen it. So we're watching it. And in the movie, the first one, he's actually at the airport. He's traveling. And in fact, that's kind of the theme of all the movies. He's traveling. It's Christmas, or he's traveling and it's the holidays, whatever. And so there are people smoking in the airport. He flies all the way to his destination and he's a cop. He gets up, Bruce Willis does. And the guy who's sitting next to him sees that he's carrying his sidearm. Now, I know police officers, certain people can carry their firearms through the TSA. But for the most part, that's no longer the case. You can't walk to the gate anymore and see your loved ones off. You can't meet people at the gate. You have to meet them once they've cleared they've exited and they've passed through the security barrier. So it was so different. The kids were like, what is he doing? I'm like, these people are just strolling in and out of the airport because that's the way it was before 9/11. So we know there are security concerns, and we know that we need something to be done to screen out the terrorists who want to destroy our country and destroy air travel. But there also has to be a certain level of acknowledgement by people who work for the TSA that you have an extraordinarily high ratio of bad apples running around in your organization, and that there are people running around this country right now. I know there have to be thousands of women who've experienced what I experienced. You have people standing on the side, dressed in the TSA uniform, hitting on women who were walking through the line, and there's nothing we can do about it. So, best thing that can happen is, I don't want anybody to be offended. Take action. Clean up your organization. You see one of the other TSA agents hitting on women in the line, you should report that agent, because you know the women can't do it. There has to be a mechanism by which TSA can raise their standards so that we can accept what is now the norm, that the TSA is going to be patting us down and running their hands up the inside of our legs and sticking their gloved hands into the back of our hair. If that's the norm, then make the organization the utmost barometer for integrity. Do that not just for us, but do it for yourself, so that you can be proud to wear the TSA uniform. Well, that's what I want. That's what I want for the TSA. All right, when we get back, we have oh my goodness, that's the whole show. I'm telling you guys, I can talk an hour down, can't I? It's been a pleasure to be with you. I'm Stacey Washington, host of Stacey on the Right on Urban Family Talk and American Family Radio. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III one more time this week. That's tomorrow. We'll close out the week. We'll take lots of your calls. God bless you and enjoy the evening. Have a great night.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.